Salutations, everybody. It is Maddie here today, and welcome to episode 73 of Defining Duke Ultimate, a Defining Duke supplement. Ladies and gentlemen, we have another special one here today. As always, I'm joined by the Sega Kid, Lord Cognito.
Yo, Maddie, what's going on, man? It's been a little while for me on an Ultimate, man. Mm-hmm. I was just talking about it. You got the place looking nice, man. I miss Ultimate, man. It's good to be doing one again with you. Had a good one, obviously, with Starfield and stuff like that. We got more stuff to talk about. Mm-hmm. Ultimates are really cool for me because we get to kind of focus in, right? Mm-hmm. Like on one thing.
Long forum discussions.
And before we start, happy born day to the birthday boy, the legend himself, Mr. Matty Plays. You know, a smooth
Thanks,
18
Cog.
Years old now. I remember my 18. I'm just joking.
Yeah. 18. You think sometimes.
I do it to addicts sometimes. I like to age shame the young ones sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you guys are like wise and mature behind your years. But salute to you,
I
man.
That.
Blessings on another one.
Thank you. Here's hoping, right? Doing mm-hmm. pretty good so far. So here's to another 27.
Bro,
thank you, though. I appreciate that. And today, on the birthday, I decided I'll selfishly pick a topic for myself. JRPGs. Let's talk about the status of them here on Xbox. It's an exciting time. In all seriousness, we wanted to have this conversation because Xbox made a pretty serious declaration to Japanese gamers this past showcase. And while we're planning a Redfall conversation, I felt like for a lot of the fan base for Xbox, this really takes priority above even the exclusives because we're talking about games that just haven't had a presence on the platform. So, again, I always like to start off with gut checks, just the overall feel on things. Cog, how are you feeling about where we're at with Japanese games on the platform? To kind of provide context, we have back at the Tokyo Game Show a commitment to 200 independent Japanese game developers. Now we have this showcase statement. We're seeing smaller games like Danganronpa. You know, I'll try to keep it serious. Danganronpa, come on over. Eye the Somnium Files comes on over. We're seeing JRPGs like Persona come over. What's the feeling on everything Japanese games now for Xbox? Is this still a lot missing to you? Do you feel like they've checked off enough boxes to make you feel a little less worried? What's the read in the room here?
Yeah, the read is kind of like reinvigoration, you know. The read for me is, you know, one brick at a time. It was very slow, right?
Brick by brick.
And
yeah.
and shout out to you because you've been on the front line, man. You're a good reference. I like that. You know, shout out to you. You've been on the front line because even when they would give us the morsel here, be like, okay, an Octopath Traveler here. You know what I'm saying? It'd be a one or two. We got a Yakuza Like a Dragon here. But then you'd always be like, hey, but where's the rest of the series? Hey, where's the new version of a series? You know what I mean? I know we got Dragon's Quest and stuff like that. And what in the games course, Game Pass, you know, all that good stuff. But I think what it's been is, the question initially was, are you just doing this to check a box, so to speak, or are you truly committing? And I think I'm going to start back with my gut check starts back with the Sega partnership because the Dukes called it. The Dukes called it. And a lot of people came at us and we were like, look, you know, oh no, you know, guys, this is just Azure, that is nothing else, that it's all it is. And I'm like, okay, we see Sarah Bond out there, we hear about Super Game, and then slowly but surely you start to see things added in. And I remember having those conversations a couple of Dukes ago, Football Manager, and then it was like, you know, this other game, and just slowly Sega's throwing their tendrils in. So I'm going to say this, to where we are now, I know we're going to talk about the big stuff, we're going to talk about everything that happened at the showcase, but I'm really feeling good. I really feel there is a commitment. They realize there's a glaring omission, and this is not just lip service. They are really trying. Now, is everything perfect? No, there's still some things we're going to talk about, and there's other things we're going to really dive deep into the significance of that showcase. And I think you said it best on the last Duke, which was, this could be a showcase that we look back at and say we didn't realize the effect that had with Japanese games from that point on for the rest of the generation.
Yeah, you know, to me, it feels like the line was drawn in the sand with that showcase, right? We had heard in passing interview comments, Phil saying, we got to do better, we got to do better. It's like, yeah, you know, you got to do a lot of things, Phil. I don't know how I really feel about that. And kind of the lip service that we've talked about a lot. I even thought that a lot of lip service was happening with the Tokyo Game Show. It's like, okay, you've committed to independent creators, but that doesn't mean to me that you're going to go get the ones that made that genre relevant to inspire those independent creators. You're just going to try to find the next persona. You're going to try to find the next Dragon Quest. There's value in that, but you got to build up the base on your platform to make them care about those independent discoveries of yours and to make them want to bring their games to you. This line in the sand moment at the showcase, you know, not to repeat myself what you just repeated, but yeah, I do think that's going to be a moment we look back on and say, like, that was a significant turning point for Xbox in a region they were struggling in. A main reason for that is for a while Xbox had, I like to call it Wii U energy with their JRPGs. And that comes across, I know it's laugh-worthy. It comes across really disrespectful. What I mean by that is Wii U was getting everything late, right? That everything was coming late to this platform. And when it finally rolled around, it's like, I don't really care anymore. You know, that this is cool, it's here, but I don't care anymore. A lot of Japanese games are like that. And Xbox fans toss their hands and go like, oh, I don't really care. I already got it on PlayStation or Switch or PC, or I don't want to play this game anymore. And Xbox just took that as a sign to abandon ship. Now we're seeing them commit with Day One Game Pass, getting the games that many fans have been asking for, partnering with a legendary creator like Hideo Kojima. And to me, that's a statement like, we're here. We're here. Like, especially because when you go back to Nintendo Switch, right? A lot of people thought that's Persona's next destination, right? We're on the Persona bus and the next stop is the Nintendo Switch because they brought Joker into Smash and people were like, this is what they always do, right? They get the Smash character appearance and they get a game there or a DLC or something. No. Now, Switch does have Persona games. They have Arena Ultimax. They have Strikers. But now Xbox is the next platform to have mainline Persona games. And they are going to come to other platforms. But I do think it's important that Xbox was setting that precedent, making that announcement, making that statement. So for me, it's, you'd think I'd be like all in, but right now, Cog, I'm feeling a little...
Where you at? Where you at?
Uneasy. I feel like we're there. Okay. We're starting to... I'm not moving the goalposts on them, by the way. Okay. I'm very happy with their efforts. Okay. Like, but when I say uneasy, it's like I want to buy into the idea like everything will be there like day and date, right?
I think we're
getting there, but I need to see it happen. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not moving the goalposts on them. I really do believe that this team understands the value of it and they're showing it to me. But like, part of me is just like, I just gotta see. Like, Persona 6 gets announced. Like, is it there? Like, is it there? Because if it is, to me, that's the thing I'm holding my breath for right now. Not that, again, I'm moving things back on them. They got 3, 4, and 5 coming to the platform. That's huge. On top of Wolong, Day One Game Pass. On top of Hideo Kojima. So the commitment's there. It's just like, I want to see the new... That's the precedent that's being set, right? The new games coming day one. So, Cog, the plan for the future for Xbox.
Yes.
We saw a lot of people say, and I disagree with this strongly, that Xbox isn't really known for JRPGs. That's not what their fans care about. But the 360 generation, I think, really said otherwise. There was a lot of success for them in that generation with JRPGs. Now we're in a different generation, though. We have Game Pass. What do you think the play is here? Do you think any exclusive Japanese games come? Do you think we're going to look at this more like a Game Pass thing? Do you think Game Pass is the conduit to a lot of JRPGs coming to Xbox? What's your feel on the future of bringing these games to the platform?
Yeah, I think Game Pass is the number one driver initially because, you know, we talk about platform identity and we talk about what, you know, people are known for. And we have to be honest, you know, Xbox, yes, they had the JRPGs, they had, you know, Lost Odyssey, these great times when they showed some commitment to the genre. And then it kind of went away. So ultimately, in my opinion, growing up with Xbox, it's always been kind of like, do bro shooter box, you know what I'm saying? FPS, sports, you know, that kind of thing. And then they've had other stuff in between, but that was kind of their primary identity. I always used to see them at. And then now it's kind of like opening up the floodgates to Game Pass, which is this extremely diverse lineup. And if you truly want to succeed in multiple regions, you have to have that. So you have to have these games that you're missing out on. Now, where I think the ultimate play where this is going to work out for them, this is my prediction, is that you've got to get the guy who would normally not even try those type of games. in their, on their ecosystem. And Game Pass is the conduit. And we know how the social media is, the zeitgeist, whatever. If a Persona 5, Persona 6 drops, and everybody's playing, and like, yo, I'm having a ball, and the clips go up, and the social media, and it's in Game Pass, now you get that user to come in and say, okay, well, let me try that. The easy end there, you know, the entry point is real low. I can, it ain't gonna hurt just to boot it up just to see. And that's how you get a new subscriber. And that's how you get, you know, someone more new into a genre that they never did. But I think it's that. I think mobile is another play that they're gonna go with, you know, and xCloud. I just think that these markets make sense. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of things going on right now. I don't know if you saw the Samsung event and stuff like that. Shout out to my boy Hip Hop Gamer. He's out there right now. They're actually playing the boxless Xbox on the Samsung TV. Seeing like virtually no latency. Now, granted, that might be a controlled environment. We don't know how far they are from the Azure Service Center, so I want to be fair. But the fact that that tech is there, and apparently it's only in these newer Samsung TVs, and eventually it probably will come out to the other manufacturers, LG and stuff like that. But cloud is going to be big, right? And there's going to be a lot of people who, let's be honest, you know, a lot of regions, I should say, that are not into going to be buying a console and a big box and stuff like that. And there is markets. They've secured deals with SK Telco, a lot of these places in other regions, other ISPs in other regions where they want to do that. So I think it's a two-part approach. You get the people who wouldn't get the console. You get people in the Game Pass that have a console or not. And now you really push for these JRPGs. So I think it's really going to set something off with their infrastructure approach. And I think that's the way to attack it. Because I think the traditional way, we're just like, hey, guys, go pay $60 for this on our platform versus, I don't think that's going
to happen. Do you think that's never going to happen at all?
I just got to be the reality of who they are, their identity, what PlayStation and Nintendo are known for. Right. But people, I think, just going to naturally gravitate towards them. I think they just have to be they have to slowly build up that aspect in their base.
Right.
But when you give them a Game Pass, you say, hey, for this low, low, low end price, here's all of this. The same day one that, again, what you said, a key will be like a Persona 6. If they're able to get a Persona 6, right, and say, hey, in-game, that's a big one. That's new. That's huge. I understand your trepidation. And Solve is with you. Addict is with you. Because Addict's like, Kong, I feel y'all, but until I see the, you know, they write.
I feel bad, right? I feel wrong for having that take, because it's like, I don't want to be that guy moving the goalposts on them, but it just feels like it's so unbelievable that we're getting Persona, that it's like, is this just a big pop announcement, or are they like, is this the true precedent?
Is this the truth? And the reason in your defense, in Solve's defense, and Addict's defense, the reason why it is valid concern is because we do see something like the Final Fantasy VII Remake situation. Let's talk about it, right? So we like, damn, how couldn't they get their hands on it? And this is where there's only a slight murkiness here, because I told people, I know we ain't talking about PlayStation on this topic, but PlayStation is not going to sit idly by and let Microsoft just go get third-party big-time games in Game Pass and essentially devalue their $70 version of it, right? So there's going to be warfare. And I think when we had Grubb on, I said, Grubb, I asked him, how do you think PlayStation counters this? Because to me, that's where the exclusivity stuff starts to kick in.
Yeah.
The marketing and stuff. Well, you know, we pay for that final, that Persona 6. You know what I'm saying? Like, we give you a lot. You know, it may take a while for it to come there. We got to see how it's going to play out. But I think it's a good sign that they've already set the precedent with the other personas so that Atlas knows everyone is in alignment. And it almost feels like the natural progression that the next one has to be on Xbox in some form, even if it may not be in Game Pass day one, that the next one will still be on release and then maybe later come to Game Pass. And last point I'll say is because we do see the only thing one of the Achilles heels to Game Pass right now, and I believe Jez said it, I believe Jeff Grubb said it, they've got to convince third parties to launch in Dandy. There are parties that are all the way in. You see the CEO of Take-Two, Strauss, mm-hmm. saying, hey, I don't know about that approach yet. And they're not willing yet, all of them. You know what I'm saying? First party is one thing, but third party. So that's going to be the key. But yeah. I want to hear where you're at with this, because I get it. I get why you're just a little, we had like a major positive
thing. It's like a nagging. Yeah, yeah. It's so great. It's unbelievable. It's kind of where I'm at. And I'm with you. I think you put it beautifully. You and I have sort of been standing shoulder to shoulder on this, that the future of getting Japanese games has got to be xCloud, right? It's got to be exposure. And I think it's going to work in almost a reverse domino effect kind of way. We're so accustomed to it beginning with exclusives and building up must-play games on the platform. And I think with Xbox being just so player-focused, like they don't talk sales often, they talk player count, that they're going to use that data to work it in reverse, where they're going to show these, let's say, Atlas, like, hey, look how many people played Persona 5 Royal, right? It's not about how many people bought it. Look how many people played it. Maybe millions of people have played Persona 5 Royal. Isn't this incredible? And maybe you work it technically forward a step, but backwards from what we expect, and you start to see some type of talks on what can we do together now that we know a base is here, hungry to play this. Let's make a single-player JRPG that's dropping day one on Game Pass. How does that partnership look, right? Because you got to remember a lot, like one thing that kind of slid under the radar very briefly was Phil, when he was talking about Team Ninja, he was talking kind of nostalgic. He was getting nostalgic about it. He was just like, you know, it's great to be back working with them again. So a lot of this is about revivals of partnerships. Yes. And you and I said this a while ago, right? With Sega, like something's brewing here, right? So yeah. I think we're working this in reverse. I think you got to imagine that with Xbox's stance on things, like day one Game Pass is the precedent, but that there are no fools that something like Starfield, you look at that, it's drawing tons of attention to the platform right now. Redfall drawing tons of attention to the platform. Forza Motorsport drawing tons of attention. They know great looking exclusives bring attention. And they've seen with 360 data, great exclusives drew attention to that platform too. I'm specifying JRPGs here. We've seen the numbers. Yeah. That when their most successful Japanese games were on the 360 exclusively. Mm-hmm. And so I think that is the last step in this program. Like we're talking years down the line, we're going to start to see exclusive JRPGs. The question is, Cog, if you were to throw a dart at the board, who are we feeling? Because I'm feeling Sega is going to be the one, because they know Game Pass in and out now. They've seen a lot of their games go in and there, out of there. They're doing it now with a true big JRPG franchise. Like they did it with Yakuza, right? So they already have that data. They're doing day one games, right? With Football Manager, with 2 Point Campus coming out soon.
Yes, big soon.
Right? Mm-hmm. And then you're doing Persona. So they're going to have a lot of data to play with here. That's my call for who does it first. What's your feel?
Absolutely. And that's what's getting me through that nagging thing. Because at the end of the day, you got the parent in pocket. Big boy Sega up at the top, you know what I'm saying, has already signed up with Super Game, the Azure partnership. This is a budding, cultivating relationship. It's been beneficial for both parties. And then I never forget, because I'm such a Yakuza fanboy, like a dragon. That's my game. Love that game, man. I'll go
I gotta
hard
play it.
Bro, you got to play it. Say where you got better fan. Yeah, that's my for you. That, oh, you got to play it. Yeah. You got to play. I get Danganronpa every 5 minutes. You got to play like a dragon. Ichiban is the hero of the future. I love Ichiban Kasaga. Shout out to Namba. Shout out to all my... I love that game. It is such a... delight. I don't want to go, but I could do a whole Defining Duke Ultimate on Yakuza Like a Dragon. I love that game.
I love that.
But at the end of the day, it's like, I remember, are they called RGG Studio, I believe, from MX, right? So they came out and they were like glowing about the engagement of Game Pass and how well, and this was the biggest Yakuza they've ever seen by opening it up to other platforms, right? Because they were locked in. And I think that's the other thing that's in Xbox's favor.
Enlightenment. Literally enlightenment.
Bro, straight up. Money enlightens. Yeah. It'll make the day feel much better. You know what I'm saying? So it's like you see that. And another comparison I use, even though it's not JRPG, you look at the MLB, you look at what the licenses going on there. They're like, hey, Sony, we love you, but we got to open this up. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That's X, and then Xbox came through the back door like, hey, we can make that happen. So at the end of the day, I think that's what it is. These companies want engagement. And unless you're willing to drop a crazy bag to lock it down, you know what I'm saying? I think that's where it's going. But yeah, I'm with you. I think that Yakuza thing really set off a lot with the Sega relationship. And as a result, the domino effect is Atlas. And Atlas is now in pocket. Whatever conversation needed to happen, happened. And that's why, again, when people talk about Phil and why is he so beloved and I don't get why Xbox, these are the reasons. These are the reasons. Things that historically the platform has just not been known to do. You know what I'm saying? It's like Met fan history real quick. Met fans prior, I don't know, you remember when Johan Santana threw the no-hitter?
Yeah, back? Of course.
Okay. Remember prior to that, Mets had never thrown a no-hitter in the history of the organization. And that goes on your head. So it's the same thing. Like, to me, their no-hitter history is like Japan. Like, they've never, ever done anything really over there. Yeah. It's not
that. They're throwing no-hitters, all right.
Yeah, so I think this is their, finally they did it. They finally got one. They're finally serious. And it's due to him, the negotiation. It's not just lip service. They're making changes, and for this, for fans of this genre like us that love it, it's great to see. And for something like Game Pass, which you need that diverse lineup, you need JRPG, you need that region to need a reason to go into that service.
I'm with you. Yeah, absolutely. I think Sega's the key to this all, the kind of knocking down the floodgates. However, there's one sturdy ass dam that just refuses to break wide open. It's one that we've talked about a lot, and I want to know if you're feeling a little greedy about the Final Fantasy VII event passing us by, and we get Crisis Core Remaster, Crisis Core Reunion, but no 7 Remake, and the sequel is just announced for PS5. I think this is a sign of where PlayStation is at. Where when they got their fingers on something to keep it off of Xbox, they are going to pay. And they are trying to make sure with, it's clear, 16, now 7 Remake and 7 Remake 2, you identify Final Fantasy with PlayStation. So Cog, we're getting Persona, Wolong Day 1, Kojima. I imagine there's more announcements to come, right? Tokyo Game Show's in October. I imagine there's more to come after this commitment where we could be revisiting this talk very soon in the scheme of our podcasts. How do you feel about no Final Fantasy VII Remake? Does it sting? I know you and I have both had the opportunity to play it, enjoy it, love it. But do you think this stings as much knowing what else is going on the platform?
It does. It does. I'm not going to lie. I mean, I knew this. In my heart, I knew it was going to happen. But I felt it was going to happen. But shout out to Rand that came on and has given a lot of the Xbox community hope. You know what I'm saying?
He's a believer.
I gave a little nudge like on IOP. I had a more recent. I said, about that Final Fantasy VII prediction, sir.
Rare one wrong.
Yeah, but I believe Rand be deep faking. Really be deep faking just to throw people off the set. That's just my opinion. But I love you, Rand. I had to talk my talk. All right, so with this thing. Okay, the reason why I think it does hurt is because, again, I am a Destiny fan, right? Destiny at the time, Bungie was working with under Activision. They had exclusive rights for Sony specific content, exotics, maps, you know, all types of little things that were really vital to the game though, right? And you would get the publication and the marketing material and it would say, 1 year exclusivity, right? So as an Xbox fan, you're like, damn, okay, I'm not going to get the Hawk Moon gun. I'm not going to get these maps. I'm not going to get this content. But at least when the year is up, all right, it'll come. So there's a patience. And that's what happened with this. Xbox fans saw marketing material, right? Final Fantasy, you know, and it had a date. Oh, we'll wait, right? And in fairness to them, I understood that, right? So, you know, me, I'm too big of a Final Fantasy VII fanboy. I ain't waiting. I knew that thing looked beautiful. I need to know what's going on. I'm in. So then the year happens, and then there's silence. And people are like, yo, what's going on? And no one's talking, and what's happening? And that's when I brought in my good friend Hoag Law at ILP. And that this was around the time Destiny was doing all its foolishness. And I was like, yo, what is going on? Like, it's the contract's over. You're supposed to open it up. And he's like, Hoag, you know what I mean? Companies extend all the time. And if Sony finds value in that, and the reason why, I want to shout out my brother Saul. Saul made a good point, is that the reason why I know this is so important to them and they have their finger on the pulse with this one specifically, Saul may remember, PlayStation 1, the history of PlayStation, Final Fantasy is huge for them becoming the global brand that they are. I remember seeing the Final Fantasy VII trailer and it looking like a movie. At that time, games never looked like that. It made JRPGs cool. I know a lot of people like 6 and all the other Final Fantasy. I get it. But from a global standpoint, you got to give my
game. That was a turning point, bro.
You got to give my game. That's when JRPGs were mainstream. People like, yo, I don't know what's going on. That looks cool. I'm going to learn.
All stigmas out the window. Yeah.
I had dude bros sitting there with Cloud and Tifa, and they didn't know what was going on. But they was like, this looks fire. And I remember it like it was yesterday, the big cinematic. And when you threw that materia down, and you threw that, you saw that summon, and that Leviathan, and that Ifrit, and you're like, oh my God, this what is gaming doing? This is, oh my God. So that's what I think it is. This is a historic legacy that Sony's trying to preserve and keep associated with them. My prediction is this. We now know it's 3 games. Remake, Rebirth, and to be determined, right? The only chance I think Xbox has at this is at the conclusion of the 3rd game. And then a year after the conclusion of the 3rd game. Because if I know Sony, and Sony plays dirty, and you know what? I respect it. I'm sad for my Xbox fan, but I respect it. Because it's like, look, when you get it, it ain't going to be relevant. And you know what happened to Destiny fans? Let me tell you the funny thing. Let me tell you the most pathetic story. Bro, so we waited, right? Taken King came out, all these exotics that they never got, Borealis gun, all these fire weapons that Xbox fans never even seen. Then Destiny 2 comes out. And then the exclusivity for the old Destiny 1 guns get released. We like, bro, it's not even relevant. No one's playing D1 right now to go back on Xbox to do that. And listen, Sony understands value. And they're going to sit there. They're going to like, oh, you going to get it. But that joint going to be...
You're going to be on to bigger and better by that point.
Yeah. And the last point, I know I'm rambling.
No, you're good.
I don't want to blame Xbox on this. I know they're trying, but just contractually, they probably just can't get around. It was already set in stone because Sony, to their credit, had the smarts and the initiative to make this contract early and set it up in such a way. I would love to have Hoag on probably one time to talk more about these type of deals and exclusivity deals because it's fascinating, man. But yeah, that's my prediction, man. That's how I think this thing's going to play out. But I feel you, man. I feel where everyone's at.
Yeah, I think the days of Final Fantasy coming to Xbox might be nearing its conclusion. I think if it's not 10 years old, it's not here because one thing we forgot to mention was Final Fantasy 14.
Yes.
The biggest MMO on the market.
Wow.
And they said that they didn't have the budget to bring it over to Xbox. And I'm sorry, Square. That's a nice white lie to just kind of put a Band-Aid over like the clear legal talks that are occurring behind closed doors that you just can't let out into the open. But this game is big enough where they have to know if they brought it to Xbox, it would blow up even further. And that would be a significant point in like a relaunch maybe or like a big expansion. But they've succeeded and thrived so long with this formula. Why do they need Xbox, right? They need we're going to start just trademarking, bro. They need the enlightened experience, right? the Square Enix needs the enlightened experience that isn't like Octopath 3 years after launch. That's what's weird, right? Speaking of which, Octopath comes out in 2018, I think it was, and it comes to Game Pass in 2021, but it's not on PlayStation. That was surprising. So Square is tough to read. I think they're very aware of Game Pass, but I think with Final Fantasy, it's just, I'm not a believer. I'm not upset about it either. I guess I've had the benefit of playing it. I have the benefit of both systems. So maybe that softens some of my emotions. But y'all know I had Persona. I've played Persona a bajillion times. And I'd say I'm more passionate about Persona, but like I love Final Fantasy. It's just, it just seems like such a foregone conclusion that, like, we're going to get everything but this.
I know. Then the Crisis Core even hurt even more because it's like the prequel to the joint you ain't going to get.
Yeah,
like,
Sony's marketing their own console on Xbox at that point. They're like, yeah, this is pretty fresh, right? You want more?
You want more? Get over here.
Come on over. Come on over to Rebirth Town.
Bro, we going to get Zack, Finn, the whole thing, the story, the Buster Sword, the whole saga. It's just like, yeah, I understand. I empathize. Even though I have all the platforms and I'm playing it over on PlayStation, I empathize with the Xbox fan that's like, damn, like, how is this happening?
It sucks. It's part of its business. It sucks it's such a big brand, but, you know, you can just tell as it started to catch fire, PlayStation held on tight. They did what they do best. They noticed something's picking up, and they were like, okay, pay up. Here we go. We're going to lock you down before you're bigger than you realize. And they continue to really thrive at that, and they've done it with Final Fantasy. Because you got to remember, Final Fantasy was in, like, a pretty shitty spot with 13. I liked some of the 13 games. I loved 13, too. But a lot of people didn't. And then Final Fantasy 14 launches. It's terrible. People aren't crazy about 15. Now look when they step in. When remakes coming around, when 16's coming around, when 14's popping up, right? Like, think about it. Think about it. They're really good at it. It's impressive. It's really impressive that they knew when it was about to, when things were about to catch fire. So kudos to them. It's why they kind of own the Japanese genre for a while, and Xbox needs to be a student of the game and continue to take notes, because PlayStation, that's going to be a while before you pry their grips off of, like, Disgaea. You know, there's so many missing series. There's smaller ones, like The World Ends With You. So the job's not done here, but I think Xbox is doing pretty well, all things considered, at this point. If you were to ask me prior to the showcase, my status quo would still be the same. Like, no, it's not enough. But now that we've moved a step forward, it's like, okay, I'm feeling better about things.
Yeah. I'm feeling much better. You know, and at the same time, like, I want to give them credit for other little things that I think, cause like I said, I agree with you. You said a very prophetic statement. I think it may come back, which is, I do think that this showcase is going to be one of those showcases. Everybody right now is in, it's mid. It was a mid showcase, right? And even I'm on the kind of 7 train, right? So I can't talk like I'm.
People don't think 7's bad, though. Like, we were just like, it was good.
Still good. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, that's just where I'm at. So I look at what's going on. We talk about the Wolong joint, right? And again, new IP, right? Souls like Bloodborne creator, right? Launching on your joint. That's a big deal to me. You know, I know Manny don't like the Battle Royale, but I look at Naraka Blade Point, which I am playing currently. You know what I'm saying? I'm part of the preview joint. Like, yo, it's going to appeal to some people. A tremendous traversal, melee combat, the art style. Like, it's a whole different.
I respect the dedication to the ninja grind. I do.
You know it, bro. I got to try this. You know what I'm saying? Am I liking everything about it? No, but graphically it looks solid, you know? And I think they got something, you know, provided with the support, and they keep on with it. I just look at games like that, and that ain't happening in the Xbox One era. I'm just being honest. It's not happening. And that's a different level. And he was on the Naraka people, they were on, I think it's NetEase. They were on the extended showcase and they were talking about everything there and how they're getting exclusive content, stuff like that. That's a big deal because now you're setting precedent.
Yeah.
New franchises are coming through, right? Mm-hmm. That's big. Now, the one I want, I know we got Wolong. What's up with that Wukong?
that one. Yeah, that one.
What's up with
really
that Wukong?
Good.
The monkey joint. That I need to see. That's when that trailer dropped. Remember when that broke the internet and people were like who are these guys? Who made this? Whatever science team. I forgot the name of the team. But I was just like, man, that's phenomenal. Yeah. So yes, I think that's why my excitement is buzzing. I just see them doing these little moves that keep adding up. And I know we're going to, I do want to pass to you, but I know I want to talk about Persona a little bit more too on another level as well for me. Cause I think there's a lot to that as well that I want to talk about.
Yeah, no, there was nothing for me to really add. It was just more so the idea of new IP coming to Xbox, something we kind of circled back to already, of just hoping that will continue to be a thing. The new thing coming through day and date on the platform. Let's talk about Persona. You know, this is one that we've long requested, and If people thought I was bad with Cog and Danganronpa, man, you have not seen Maddie in Persona. This is my favorite JRPG franchise, man. It really is. I love Persona.
Why don't you number one?
Oh, number one. Oh, dude. Yeah.
Oh, I got a story for you. You're gonna like it.
Oh, dude. Yeah, this is the series to me, man. Like it is important that they got this one. And there's a reason why, like, I know social media is not everything, because numbers-wise, Starfield did way better. But when you looked on Twitter and you saw the explosions of likes, retweets for Persona versus, like, Starfield, Persona was making more rounds, I'm sorry to say. And there's a reason for that.
Let's go.
It's such a heartwarming series, but it's because it's so thematically driven. It connects with a lot of people. Like, this isn't spoilers at all, but Persona 3 is about life and death. 4 is about finding the truth. 5 is about standing up to creating justice in an unjust society. And each of those connect to their characters, and everyone just attaches themselves to these games for hours on end for good reason. Like, they're fantastic. Like, they follow JRPG tropes in some of their character designs, but in their gameplay design, they don't at all. They're trailblazers. So yeah, it's just a phenomenal series. And there's a reason why Phil had that smirk on his face when he delivered the announcement. Like, he knew how big of a deal this was. So this is a tremendous get for the platform, a really big deal to sort of be, even though other platforms are going to get it, the driving force, right? The driving force behind, like, we're helping usher Persona into a whole new era, where they are not just PlayStation, they are on Nintendo, they are on Steam, they are on Xbox. And Atlus can finally get a whiff of what they really have, because once they brought Persona 4 Golden to Steam, y'all heard me start beating that drum. They had, like, I think 1 or 2 million sales really quickly. And I said, man, if they don't realize they're sitting on a gold mine now for a port, they better know it now, because they have so many more games to bring over. Catherine being another Catherine Full Body.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
But now they're bringing them all over. So I'm hoping Xbox has brought the enlightened treatment to them. Cog, you wanted to talk Persona, so I want to pass it to you now that I've set the stage here on how important this is. What's the feel?
It's so funny, because prior to talking to you and Addict, I didn't associate myself with it, right? And I was just like, okay, I see the you know, how everybody's going crazy. You know, at some point I'm going to get to it. And then I remember speaking to Addict, and I'm like, all right, if I was to dive in, how long? And he's like, hey, bro, this game, it's got some, you know what I'm saying? It's got some blood to it. So I'm like, all right. Then I was doing, like, I forgot. I was doing, like, a PlayStation 1 retrospective or something on somebody's show. Bro, I didn't know I played Persona the original.
Persona 1?
I was one of the first. Yeah, it was called, I called it Revelations. I didn't know that was the Persona.
You didn't know that? Oh,
yeah, because I was like, oh, you're talking about the joy with the school kids. And I was like, yes. So I played it. And I remember, now controversially, there was an added African-American character that wasn't part of the original that they changed. And he had the yellow hat, and he had yellow backpack, and it was about the kids, and they summoned this little extra entity and persona about themselves. And then it was very difficult, because it was you had to, like, match the powers to the situation and strengths and weaknesses. You can't just play the same way. And I remember beating it. That game was long as hell. I remember that game being long. I remember it, but I remember liking it. It was an early PS1 game. And I'm like, yo, like, I was calling it Revelations, not knowing that this is the same Persona. I just never played the sequels and never continued with the series. I thought I thought your Persona was different than what I've
that's funny. Wow.
Bro.
So you got to experience, like, what wasn't a Persona people fell in love with. People fell in love with Persona with 3 because they added the social elements to the game and everything, as I'm sure you've seen. But Persona back then was, like, just an SMT spinoff. It was just a hard-ass JRPG series in school. So that's fascinating. So you haven't... How much Persona have you played of, like...
That was it. Like, literally, that was it. And you know what's funny? Looking back at it now, I see a little bit of Danganronpa with the way the hallways go through the... like, it's certain with Japanese RPG design is kind of funny. But anyway, yeah, like, so I'm sitting there and I'm like, okay, I remember this. I remember back then being impressed with the mature subject lines, the conversations, things of that nature. So now I'm like, oh, I can't wait to take this bad boy through the paces all the way through with what we have. You know what I'm saying? Now, I did speak to Attic. I was like, look, he feels five. There's bits and pieces across, but he does feel five is kind of self-contained on some level. But I wanted your advice because if I'll be honest with you, man, I really want to play five. The stylized, it just looks so cool. Joker, the whole bit. Like, I really want to play five, and I kind of want to do what I did with Yakuza Like a Dragon. I'm like, do I have to play the other one?
You don't have to. I'll just stop here. You don't have to.
No, thank you. Because that's the one that
looks like
cool.
There's like Easter eggs. Like, you'll read a screen on a TV if you're a freak like me and notice that they're shouting out Naoto from Persona 4.
Right.
There's no, it's like Final Fantasy. There's no story carryover. Like, they're in the same universe, if you will, but there's no story carryover. Okay. It's just its own thing. You know, you don't need to know a damn thing about Persona 4, 3, 2, 1 to know what happens in 5. Will it help you understand some of the mechanics more from the gameplay? Maybe.
Yeah.
But you don't need, for the story, not at all. Like, not whatsoever. It's why I so passionately recommend it. You don't need to just leap in and play 1 through 5. Or 1 through 4, sorry. Yeah, you can just get into 5 Royal and you'll be fine.
Yeah, but I wanted to give you that nugget because I never knew that I played the Origin. That's so crazy.
Yeah, I can't wait though. You know, this is a big day one Game Pass game for Xbox. It's coming out this October, and I like that they're starting off with this one too because it kind of shows, you know, let Atlas get these numbers first. Like, let them see the holiday anticipation for a game they already released. And I can't wait. We talked a lot about Enlightened in this episode. I can't wait for Xbox fans to be enlightened with this one because then we have a lot of listeners on this show, and they'll finally get to see what a God-tier JRPG is like nowadays. Because, again, you know, a lot of JRPGs run into the same issues of, like, I think visual asset limitation is one of them. Like, these dungeons looking very samey. I think combat getting annoying, not being paced out properly, but with the social elements and spending time with your friends and them having repercussions in the gameplay. There's just so much here that, like, you can sink your teeth into. It's weird because when you tell people, you're like, Persona 5 Royal is like a 130-hour game, people are like, oh, God, no. But the thing is, you will play it and you will make time for it because it's not, you feel like you're always making progress. So it's not like I always call it like a Divinity Original Sin 2 time sink where you're at 4 joy and you're just like gnawing on your food bit by bit. You're like, man, I'm really not making fucking progress here and I've been playing for 3 hours. It's none of that. So yeah, it's just a monumental get for Xbox and hopefully the start of many more coming to the platform.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it, man. Game looks absolutely phenomenal. I've always lusted. I just had to make the time. But no, I'm making the time. Well, we got time with the first party output.
Yes,
so I got time.
Yes. It's a perfect window for it to drop, right? So that's huge.
Yes.
Anything else you wanted to throw into this conversation? We talked about Final Fantasy Persona, the future of where these games are going on the platform, how things are now. Is there anything we missed?
Yeah, I did want to talk about Kojima a little bit more.
Yeah, please. Yes.
Yeah, only because of the rumors, right? And they were talking about, I think it was called, was it Overdose?
Overdose. Yep.
Yeah, and it looks like that could potentially, because we know he's working on two games. We know the Death Stranding. Isn't it funny he had to make an announcement, Brett, that he's still. I thought that was hilarious. There was a certain base that was upset, and he had to assure a certain base of people that he's still working with.
There's been a lot of that this month, man. Like, I'm not trying to. You and I are not console warrior, right? We don't get into our feels over this shit, but man, there's been a lot lately of like consoling. I just am not reading the tea leaves right on why people feel the need to do this, but yeah, it's sorry, go on. There's just been a lot of it.
You're absolutely right. Red said the same thing. I said the same thing. Yeah, it's very weird, goofy energy in my opinion, but you know, he had to make the statement to assure us that some people. But anyway, so now we hear about this over there. We hear about this like horror game kind of that kind of vibe. And shout out to Miles because I feel like horror fans.
He's eating.
Bro, he is eating. Shout out to Jimmy Champagne too.
Yeah, right? Oh yeah, he's feasting.
Feasting.
He's
so
texting
many.
Me about every single horror game that's like been announced in the last couple of weeks. He's like, dude, this is incredible. Like, there's just so many.
I'm happy for them because again, I love when underrepresented genres get light. But yeah, I think it could be interesting. I want to know how he's going to utilize the cloud. He came out, you know, obviously it's one of my predictions. And now that the dust has settled, yes, am I I was a Metal Gear guy. I was. He was with me all the way through Solid and, you know, Part 1. That was amazing on PlayStation. And Part 2. Or I was pretty much there with him. And then he just got too crazy with the narrative. And then he lost me. Mm-hmm. But, you know, one thing you can't say. He usually always does something unique. Mm-hmm. Gameplay defining on some level. And you can't say his games don't look beautiful. Yeah. Like, some his games really do look good.
Some would say it looks like a movie.
Yes. Yes. I know what you're doing. I know what you're doing. The addict feels the same. You know what I'm saying? And he's like, that man should make movies. Get out of the game. I know.
Yeah,
but
I'm it's like a little casual disrespect. Go on.
A little casual. Don't do a little jab. I feel that. But I'm dying to know what his mind will come up with Azure. And can he produce something that is game changing that we can finally say, for the most part, outside of Microsoft Flight Sim, because Flight Sim, I feel, utilizes cloud technology in an amazing way, mm-hmm. right? But we want, you know, game is hardcore. We want the traditional game, right? How do you use cloud that we look back and we say, yo, we've never seen something like that? And I'm just curious. I'm just curious mm-hmm. what, you know, because this was a project initially with Stadia with him. And then the Stadia, obviously, Google did what Google does.
Yeah.
And now we're here. So, yeah, I just want to, I'm curious, man. I'm really excited about it, what he could do. And the last thing, besides the symbolism, is the influence of other developers to now say, you know what? We can work with Xbox. I'm comfortable because Hideo's over there. I'm comfortable. I have a pitch. Does that open up a floodgate?
Yeah, do you think that's what happens, or do you think they need to see the game first? Like, that's what I think. You need to see the game first, right? So I don't know if the effects will go in immediately, like, oh, he committed to them, or when they see Overdose. I think it's going to be like, do you think the Xbox mentality, because this is how I'm feeling, I think the Xbox mentality for Starfield is going to be the same for whatever Kojima's working on, like that kind of must-nail mentality, take all the time you need, putting it on a platform, really building it up. No matter what it is, it could be Death Stranding, for God's sakes, like, which was just open world mail delivery, right? It could be whatever, and they're going to build it up and try to make sure it feels like it's nailed something, because like it'll be a statement to a whole region, really.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that's exactly what the game, once completed, and if it shows out mm-hmm. and they really have a hit, they have something going, that could open up the floodgate. And it's a good time. I think it's a new day as far as Xbox in the region, and you're seeing the tea leaves all line up. But this show, I think we can't say enough to see what they did, especially that end of the show, that last half. Phenomenal commitment. Yes. And you said it best. Phil had that look. He had that. He knew it. He knew this is what you guys have been, a certain part of the community that's been wanting this, and it's good to see.
Yeah, and what's great about this Kojima Overdose game is it's apparently, like you said, horror. And remember how, still to this day, we talk about PT. People are still going into that demo and finding new things, data mining it, digging stuff up. It's one of gaming's like most fascinating demo experiences, but also just like greatest mysteries of what could have been. If Xbox shows out, like you said, and they're delivering like the PT you never had, which, you know, ooh, Kojima has been in the rumor mill for a fucking year since then about how they want to do a horror game. You know what's eating at him. You know he wants to do that, right? Like, in a lot of ways, PT was lining up to be this dream project with, like, Guillermo del Toro. Like, you know, getting him involved, Kojima involved. It's like the Silent Hill experience. It was creepy. You know, if you can do that on Xbox, that's going to pull a lot of attention to your platform, yeah, especially nowadays where, you know, we've sort of moved past the horror phase of games where I don't know if it's like, it's not a direct responsibility. I think it was the marketability of it, but I think that like Let's Plays might have had some type of impact on horror games being purchased when you really think about it, right? I remember that was a big thing for a while. Like, people were saying no one's buying them because everyone wants to watch them but not play them. Like, I remember, I think that happened with not Heavy Rain, Until Dawn was one that a lot of people said that could have been a direct cause of it, because it's just entertaining for people to watch others get scared instead of being scared themselves.
Yes, good
but,
point.
You know, if Overdose can come out and deliver in a society ready for that horror experience, wanting to buy that horror experience, if we can thank Resident Evil for that, and it's got that PT energy, man, dude.
Yeah.
That's going to be huge for them. Huge.
Yeah, big time actress associated. Shout out to, I think, Tom Henderson who leaked it, Margaret Qualley. And then, yeah, he's always, like, obviously with Death Stranding, he went and got my man from The Walking Dead. You know, he's going to put that production value and some Western sensibilities in it. And yeah, if he cooks up something, and if it's anything like PT or the PT that he wanted, you know, man, that could be something. We got to see. But I'm excited. Yeah. I'm excited at the potential.
You got to imagine now Death Stranding's going to be coming to Game Pass soon, right? And hey, that tease in the back of Phil's setup was true. That whole, like we always said, right? That statue that was in the background, the Kojima Death Stranding dude, whatever the hell his name is.
Yeah, I wonder though. Didn't Sony help develop the game? I'm not sure, like, with Death Stranding, though. I'm under the impression that, you know, that may still be just theirs.
Course.
You know what I'm saying? Kind of thing. But to your point, he set the precedence of, you know who created that.
I also think, like...
What do you think?
Does PlayStation hold on as tight as, like, they're going to hold on to Final Fantasy? I think it would be unrealistic to think so.
I see where you're going. But then again,
maybe that's just me projecting my opinion on the game.
Listen, you know how I feel about it. So I'm with you all day when you said the FedEx job. I was laughing. But I think the only thing that makes me question is if they weren't doing a sequel. If they weren't doing a sequel to it, then I'm like, all right, I could see after a couple years, exclusivity, and then, you know, it's his joint, and it kind of opens up to everybody. But we got to see, you know. Maybe he just runs around like you know, like a little mercenary, man. It's like, yo, I'm taking a bag for whatever platform, and this is your exclusive.
He should.
Yeah.
We'll see, but this game will be day one Game Pass without a doubt. So whatever it is will be pretty accessible to play.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, I think we covered all the bases on the status of JRPGs on Xbox, and it's an exciting time. I think it'll be even more exciting come Tokyo Game Show.
Yes.
So hopefully this is the start of the ball rolling. It feels like it is a real true commitment to Japan, just for people like me who have been damaged in battle. We need to see a little bit more. Just like we're here. We're truly here.
Yes.
Cog, any closing thoughts or shall I wrap this up?
No, it's an exciting time. This was the highlight for me for the showcase. This is what really, because there was that low. We always talk about that middle. But this was the part that sent me through the roof, and I really enjoyed it. I think, like I said, we'll look back, and hopefully this is the start of a new era with JRPGs, Japanese games, the commitment, new titles, the whole bit. Let's go. Let's see what happens.
Absolutely. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for tuning in, talking about a new era of JRPGs on Xbox. Here's hoping for more in the future. And with that, take all right care of yourselves, and we'll see you in the next Defining Duke Ultimate. Peace out.
Defining Duke, an Xbox podcast, is a product and trademark of Last Stand Media and Collins Last Stand LLC, and is recorded from the United States of America. The show is conceived by Matthew Mr. Matty Plays Schroeder and me, Colin Moriarty, and is written and produced by Matthew Schroeder. Matty's co-host is Barry Lord Cognito Eversley. Defining Duke's executive producer is Dustin Furman, and the show is edited by associate producer Ben Smith. All of Last Stand's theme music is by Ramon Narvaez. As you know, all of Last Stand Media's shows, including Defining Duke, are fan-funded on Patreon at patreon.com/laststandmedia. The following names are at the producer support level on Patreon, and we're thankful for your kindness and generosity. Casual Misfits Gaming, Stephen Nieder, Ross Maranka, Miguel A. Brewer, Morgan Ashley, Azan, Michael Vecchio, Jerome Ferreira, SLVFMA, Daniel D'Amore, Brad Cooley, Jeremy Key, Patrick Leslie, Malachi Wall, Dave Cowell, Donald John Vader, Stephen Innerfield, Lord Starscream, Jacob Donovan, Eduardo Perez, Salty Trees, My Name is Mayo, Logan Byford, GJ, Eddie Medina, Jason R. Zahn, Christopher Knock, Zeno Adam, Grayson Maxwell, Cody Woodall, Nuclear Prostate, Sorta Serious Gaming, Colin Farley, Mark Arnold, Zia Parix, Henry Groth, Relentless Rex, Tristan Palacios, Drew Mullen, Graham Plays, Christian R., Jad Reed, Benjamin Mumma, Patrick Skipper, Brian Hernandez Espinoza, Chris Kelly, Remington Wilson, Dustin Graff, Peyton Stone, Jalapeno, Josh Hallen Rui, Michael Buffel, Dan Root, Asak Parides, Talisman, Christopher Morgan, Randall Halsey, Robbie Nauman, William Holbert, Josh Godfrey, Kalike Souza, Vornak, Betty Ann Moriarty, Daniel Johnson, H Tronge, JT, Antonio C, Jay Getter, Assassinated Devil, Bjorn Campbell, Andrew Morgan, Jeff Mercado, Gregory Slavinsky, Jordan Gale, of Fortuna, John Zeal, Boots, Tyler Brown, Megadeth, Poot, Gavin Newland, Alex LaPierre, Saul Balcazar, Brian White, Raul Melendez, Eric Harden, Alex Bolton, Bolton, Matt Flowers, Kinnums, Joseph Baker, Bustard, Rodney Coleman, Cruxes, Chris Moore, Caswell, Antti Kinnunen, Chris, Dave Alvarez, Will Hernandez, Chris Galvin, Justin Gonzalez, Mason Cadillac, Ollie Fritz, Zach Allum, Kyle Hagel, Colin Love, Daryl E. Naiman, Ryan R. Kittredge, Toby Ryland, Michael S., David Bostic, Stewie108, Patrick Montgomery, Simon Dunbar, D.B. Cooper, Fat Houdini, Richter86, Ian Bravo, Barrett Boswell, Christopher DeVio, Chris Morton, Johnny Waffles, Roto24, Jonathan Coates, Sean Mason, Josh Gravelick, Jordan Town, Brian Chan, Organic Produce, Carlos Algarit, Dominic, Mike Menzel, Richard Hebert III, Miranda Grubba, Josh Yeager, Martin Beck, Gavin, Joey Andrzejczyk, Nathan R., Joe McPartlin, Gary Cavallo, Christopher Moore, Jacob Bell, Dennis Usel, Lou and Ray Loper, Jonathan Cortez, Dylan Burns, John Schultz, David Chestnut, Tom Quinn, Anton K., Alan Trembley, Tyler Bello, Ryan T. Mandel, Tony Zuniga, Sean Battershall, Robbie Hensley, Alex Cabrera, Lennon Brixey, Hugo's Desk, Peter Reynolds, Anthony Vasquez, Adam Kinniston, The Rose Experience, and Grizzled Veterans Media, Tyler Goodwin, William O'Carroll, Jorge Powell, Max Cannon, Phil Crone, Throw 7, Adam Nix, Josh McKinney, Michael Gates, Alex Gates, Ryan Robertson, Sean Chandler, Lockmore, Gio Corsi, Joey Gondhaliger, Gerald Pennington, Justin Payne, Justin Wagaman, David Iacolucci, Paul Joyce, Chad Lewis, Enrique Perez, Joshua Smallwood, Spencer Brand, Don Lee, John Cordero, Andrew, Keith A. Lewis, Ashley Carlson, Marius Garson Peterson, Ryan Greenwood, Tyler Harris, Matthew Perdue, Patrick Carper, Mad Mock Media, and Jonathan Rice.